السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Can we hear me, brothers?
السلام عليكم يا شيخنا.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. أبا عبد الرحمن, are we going now?
نعم يا شيخنا.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا إله إلا الله وحده, وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد, we are continuing our book Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah. We are on the first and the second chapters on At-Tu'adatu fil Umur. At-Tu'adatu fil Umur. Al-Imam al-Bukhari gave a chapter heading. Firstly, he said, Babu Tu'adati fil Umur. The chapter about At-Tu'ada. We had explained in the classes previously that At-Tu'ada or At-Tu'ada has to do with At-Ta'anni wa At-Tathabbutu wa Adamu At-Ta'ajjuli fil Umur. At-Ta'anni, holding back, wa At-Tathabbut, looking very carefully and diligently, wa Adamu At-Ta'ajjuli fil Umur, and never being hasty in our affairs. When an individual holds back carefully, and he is usually looking for the right thing to do, he looks into it deeply, he takes a decision that is based on clear-cut knowledge and an understanding of what he wanted to talk about or what he wanted to act upon. He looks carefully, he looks diligently, he understands the implication of what he's doing. وَعَدَمُ التَّعَجُّلِ, he's not hasty at all in any of his affairs. This kind of a person employs أَتُّهُدَ فِي أَمْرِهِ. He's employing أَتُّهُدَ. What he has employed is good diligence in his affairs. The first report Al-Imam al-Bukhari gave was a story about the value of not being hasty when a young boy was advised by a scholar when that young boy was going to travel on a journey to study. The scholar gave him three pieces of advice. He said, ittaqillaha, wasbir, wala tasta'ajil. Fear Allah in all your affairs. Wasbir, be patient at all times. Wala tasta'ajil, don't be in a haste. The point of reference in that story was that we must not be in a haste in our affairs. Some of us, when we speak about something, we quickly speak about those matters without tasabbut, without properly verifying the truth regarding the matter. The case is worse in our own days now of the social media. People read something and hear something and they begin to give comments about it. Biduni ayyati tasabbut, without any sort of proper verification of what they want to comment about. So they end up blaming and insulting somebody over a matter that is not true, or they begin to blow up a matter beyond its limits, or they begin to demean a matter below its real value, all of which ends up to be upon erring, because there is no tathabbut and there is الاستهجان. People do not properly verify what they read. They do not verify what they say. ويستعجلون. And then hastily they speak. Hastily they act. In fact, people take people for enemies out of this kind of a haste. You are just in a haste. In fact, this matter is not just about our affairs on the social media. It has just been worse on the social media. You see the people commenting, speaking about something, cursing people, insulting, abusing, taking positions, all upon a matter that is not true. Unfortunately, also, we are in a generation where falsehood spreads easily. So people spread falsehood. They deliberately cook up falsehood. And then, unfortunately, people also believe them without verifying what they believe. This is a major lesson for those of us in our times. Imam al-Bukhari gave that long story from Al-Hasan al-Basri with his isnad, where the Sheikh advised that young man, "Ittaqillah wasbir wa la tasta'jil," fear Allah at all times, be patient, and then don't be in a haste. Now, this training of not being in haste was taught to us by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So Imam al-Bukhari wrote another chapter heading to make us understand what were those lessons from the Prophet himself alayhi salatu wa salam, that emphasize that the Muslim la budda an yakuna ala tu'dati fi umurihi kulliha. Necessarily, the Muslim must be upon a tu'ada in all his affairs. He must be upon good diligence, O brothers. The Prophet said, for example, alayhi salatu wassalam, man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir fal yakul khairan aw liyasmut. Anyone who truly believes in Allah and the day of Qiyamah, fal yakul khairan, let him say what is good, or that he should be silent. If you are not careful and deliberate about what you say, if you are a hasty person about your speech, or you are hasty about your actions, there is no way you can follow that hadith. There is no way you can be a person who la yaqulu illa khaira. He would not say anything except something that is good, something beneficial to people, or something that will put away evil from people, either saying something that is beneficial or saying something that will push away evil, expressions that will bring reconciliation amongst the people. You cannot be like this if we are not a people who are careful about our speech, who look well at what we say and think deeply before we act. If we are not like this, if we are hasty, if we don't properly verify information, how many times have people taken people for enemies? And the people they have taken for enemies, wallahi, they are absolutely innocent. You heard somebody saying or doing something, you heard that he said it, you heard that he did it, and that's all. There is no sort of a verification. Even to ask him, excuse me, brother, did you say this truly? Did you understand what you said? Did you mean this by what you said? Did you intend this? Did you know these kinds of verifications don't occur anymore in our own times? We believe everything. We depend on everything without verification. This act of not verifying contradicts the foundations of our religion as far as our character is concerned. So Imam al-Bukhari repeated that chapter again. باب التؤدة في الأمور. A chapter about being diligent, being careful, being verifying. You verify things very well before you say them, before you take them as opinions, before you begin to act based on them. You act based on proper verification and good carefulness. Proper verification and good carefulness. That's why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Hadith 584 we read in the last class. That is the Hadith of Ashaju of Abdul Qais. Ashaju, we told us, what does it mean? Ashaju is any person who has a mark on his face. He is referred to as what? Ashaju. If a person has a mark on his face, maybe on the forehead or on the cheek, is referred to as Ashadju. This man came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the head of a delegation from his tribe. The name of his tribe is Banu Abdul Qais. He came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a group of about 40 persons, and about 14 of them were riding on a horse or on a camel. He came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A man amongst them, we had read this story in the last class, a man amongst them came to Medina to trade. He accepted Islam from the Prophet Muhammad and went back to his people. This man was married to the daughter of Al-Ashaj, and his daughter observed what her husband was doing. Her husband was making wudu. Her husband at different times of the day would bend down, stand up, put his head on the ground. This young girl went to report the matter to her own father, who was now Al-Ashaj. His name was Mundhir ibn A'ib al-Asari. Mundhir ibn A'ib al-Asari. He was the one who now came to properly watch his own son-in-law, the husband of his daughter. He watched him, he saw him, he observed him, and noted that this man, you must be doing what you are doing based on something. You can see this man. He came to verify the information that was brought to him by his daughter. And upon engaging his son-in-law, Kunfuz, the man accepted Islam. Al-Ashaju accepted Islam after listening to the husband of his daughter. And then he began to invite his own friends also into Islam. And many of them became Muslims. They came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a delegation, and he was the head of the delegation. When they arrived in the masjid of the Prophet in Medina, they came all the way. If you look at the map of the Arabian Peninsula, they came right from Bahrain. Their area of residence is around Bahrain, that is far southeastern Arabian subcontinent, far southeast, and around Bahrain, around Zahra, around Ahsa. Ahsa is in the present day Saudi Arabia. That is the area where these people have come from. They came all the way to Medina to meet the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When they arrived in the masjid, we are on Hadith 584. When they arrived in the masjid, his people came down, rushed down from their beast of burden. They ran into the masjid, shaking the Prophet, hugging the Prophet, greeting the Prophet, and all that. This man, Al-Ashaju, he did not run like that. He waited to gather the beast of burden, the horses, the camels that they had ridden. He gathered them in a place. He tied his own camel, radiallahu anhu. He opened his bag. He changed his clothes. And then he came to the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is another major indicator that Al-Ashajju was a very brilliant and intelligent person who took his time. He was not in a haste. He did not jump down on the horses. He did not jump down from the horses as the rest of his brothers did. He did not leave his own beast of burden as the rest of the brothers did. He did not go in dress that was already dirty, covered in dust, as it would be at that time when a man traveled in a desert. He changed his dresses. He changed his headgear. And then calmly, like unlike others, he did not run towards the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He walked towards him, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, calmly. That was why in Hadith 584, Al-Ashajju himself said, قال لي النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إن فيك لخلقين يحبهما الله. Of course, after seeing Ashajju in all of this, the Prophet said to him صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, you have two characters, يحبهما الله, Allah likes the two. Two things are common with you. And those two things, yeah, things that Allah like, Ashajju himself, Mundhir ibn Arif al-Asri, he said, وَمَا هُمَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. What are those two things, O Messenger of Allah? The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, الْحِلْمُ وَالْحَيَاءُ. الْحِلْمُ وَالْحَيَاءُ. الْحِلْمُ is to have forbearance. Al-Hilmu requires you to be of good aql. All of what we have been saying, for you to hold back, think well, talk properly, act properly, be diligent. Like Al-Imam Al-Munawi, Abdul Rauf Al-Munawi said, Rahimahullah, he said, these are the pattern, these are the ways of life of the people of intellect. It said, وَذَلِكَ مِنْ شِعَارِ الْأُقَلَى الْحِلْمُ الْأَنَاتُ وَالْتَثَبُّتُ. الْأَنَاتُ holding back, وَالْتَثَبُّتُ, and verifying matters properly. These are two main things that are inside الْحِلْمُ. You hold back, you verify properly, you know what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. All of this thinking and organizing the mind. He said, Rahimahullah, Al-Imam Ibn al-Athir also said that. He said, وَذَلِكَ مِنْ شِعَارِ الْأُقَلَى. Thinking, looking, considering, carefulness, proper statements, proper actions. He said, all of these mean شِعَارِ الْأُقَلَى. They are from the things we find with al-uqala, with people of good wisdom. So al-hilmu is that you are not a hasty person, oh brother. Al-hilmu is that you are careful, you are patient, you are diligent, you are deliberate. These are expressions we use today as if Islam has not taught us anything about these things. Please, husbands, be deliberate in your dealings with your wives. Likewise, the wives should be deliberate in their dealings with their husbands. The boy should be deliberate in his dealings with his father. Likewise, the father to the children. Be deliberate. You are deliberately careful. You choose your words. You choose your expressions. You choose your decisions. You choose your actions. And of course, you know that in all of these, you are going to have to face the repercussions in this world and the hereafter. So if you want good repercussions, you properly be diligent. And of course, those who don't care, they lose higher. Perhaps that was why The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam connected al-haya'u and al-hilm. The one who is who has hilmu, who is halim, he is deliberately careful. And the one who does not have haya'u, he does not care, he's careless. He does not care, he's not deliberate. So we are told by the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, those who don't care, who don't have haya'u, yaf'aluna ma sha'u. So he said, if you don't care, idha lam tastahi, fasna' ma shi't. Alladhina yasna'una ma sha'u. So those who do just what they want, it is because they lack haya'u. As for al-halimu, al-hayyu, the one who has hilmu, the one who has haya, they are consciously deliberate of everything that they do. This was the same message in Hadith 585 we read in the last class. But the difference was Al-Imam Qatada, if we come to Hadith 585, Qatada ibn Di'ama al-Sadusi was a tabi'i from the students of Anas ibn Malik, from the students of Abdullah ibn Sarjis. Qatada met Abu Nadra. Qatada ibn Di'ama al-Sadusi, he met Abu Nadra, or Abu Nadra. Abu Nadra, his name was Al-Munzir ibn Malik al-Asri. He was also amongst Banu Abdul Qais. He came together with Al-Ashaj on that journey. So that Tabi'i Qatada, he met Abu Nadra, who was in that delegation. I hope that this is clear. One of those who came with Al-Ashaj on that journey was who? Abu Nadra. His name is Al-Munzir ibn Malik al-Asari. He came with Al-Ashaj, Al-Munzir ibn A'iz al-Asari. He came with them on that journey. Now, Qatada ibn Di'ama met Abu Nadra. And Abu Nadra, rahimahullah, mentioned this report from the presence of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, rahimahullah, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that قال النبي sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam li Ashaj Abdul Qais. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke to Ashaj Abdul Qais. Ashaj, that man who had a mark on his face from the tribe of what? Abdul Qais. He said that Al-Ashaj was not his real name. His real name was what? Munzir. But he was called by Ashaj by the Prophet himself, alayhi salam. Why? He had a mark on his face, the way Yorubas have marks on their faces. A man who has a mark like that on his face, maybe because of an injury or because of something else, he is called Al-Ashaj. So that's why he's called Ashaj Abdul Qais. That man from the tribe of Abdul Qais who has a mark on his face. But his real name was what? Munzir ibn A'id al-Asayn. So it was said that the Prophet said to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna fika la khaslatain yuhibbuhum Allah. You have two characters and Allah liked those two characters. Dear brothers, he is not being talked to by a friend. It's not just anybody talking. This is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The messenger looks at you, he say, and tells you that you have two characters that Allah likes. This is a big thing of honor for Al-Ashaj. And it really means the man really truly has it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looks at you and say, ah, you this man, you have two things and Allah likes those two things. It means Allah really, really likes Al-Ashaj. And he made the Prophet to tell him. I mentioned in the last class that this is evidence that if you see your brother do something and he is good at it, tell him. Many times, the only time we want to give feedbacks is when the information is negative. We hardly tell ourselves, my brother, you are doing well. You are like this, keep it up. You are like that. Keep it up. The times we want to talk to them is, or when we find faults, we quickly want to tell them. And this was not with Al-Ashaju alone. The day the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam spoke about Abdullah ibn Mas'ud in front of Abu Bakr and Omar, he said, who is reading the Quran? The Prophet heard somebody reading the Quran sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam in the masjid. It happened that it was Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, man sarrahu uzul Quran. لا من سره أن يقرأ القرآن حبا فريا أما أنزل فليقرأ بقراءة ابن أمي عبد. He said صلى الله عليه وسلم, whoever desires to read the Quran fresh, كما أنزل, exactly the way that it was revealed, فليقرأ بقراءة ابن أمي عبد. Let him read in the way Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is reading the Quran. Abdullah was not there. It was Abu Bakr al-Siddiq and Omar who heard it from the Prophet. This isnad of this narration occurs in the Musnad of Al-Imam Ahmad. When they heard it, the two of them were running to go and tell Ibn Mas'ud, good news to you. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you read the Quran fresh. For Indian, fresh and nice, kama unzila, exactly the way it was revealed. Omar said, radiallahu anhu, because this report is from the report of Omar, that before I got there, Abu Bakr had already gone there and told Ibn Mas'ud before me, said, I knew that this man surpasses me in every good deed. If I said one good deed, before I do it, Abu Bakr had done it. Before Umar got to Ibn Mas'ud, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq already got there to inform Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. As for us, it is the negative ones, those bad ones we like to convey. When it is good, we hide it. Even though some scholars say that is from the evidence of jealousy and hatred. The evidences of hasad and bukht is that when you hear something, when he hears something about you good, he hides it. But when he hears something about you negative, he wants to tell you about it. It is from the evidence. Al-Imam Ibn Hibban mentioned that in Urwatul Uqala. From the ways you understand that someone hates you inside him, is that what he always brings to you are those things that will sadden you. If he hears something good about you, he will never tell you. May Allah protect us from such persons. So from the things of Sunnah, from the Manhaj Salaf, is that if you hear something nice and good about your brother, tell him. The last class we mentioned it, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that al-mu'minu mir'atu akhi, the person of Iman, they are like the glasses mirror to their brothers. The people of Iman, al-mu'min mir'atu akhi, this is his mir'at, his mirror. And the mirror does not only tell us when the powder is not well placed. When the powder is well placed, when the dressing is nice, the mirror tells you. When the dressing is faulty, the mirror tells you. But for us in our times, it is when the powder is bad. That is the only thing that the mirror sees. The Prophet here told Al-Ashaj, Inna fika la khaslatain, you have two behaviors. Yuhibbuhum Allah. Allah likes those two behaviors. Al-Hilmu, you are always careful. You are always diligent. You look at things properly before you do them. Wal-Anat, you are not a hasty person. Al-anat, the ulama say it's tarkul ajala or adamu ta'ajjuli fil umur. When you are someone who you are not hasty, when you want to do something, that is al-anat. You're always holding back. Let me look properly. Let me ask properly. And this lesson is taught to us so much in various verses of the Quran. Allah said to us in Al-Hujurat, He said, يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا يسخر قوم من قوم عسى أن يكونوا خيرا منكم. O people of Iman, let not any group of you make a jest about the other group. Maybe they are better than you. The reason why you quickly think that you are better than him is that you are hasty in your judgment. In fact, I think in modern psychology, they refer to that as fallacy, hasty generalization. All of these, the Muslim will not be falling into it if it's a person who is careful, if it's a person who has al-anat. Al-anat is that you are not hit, you hold back. You hold back, that is al-anat. Al-hilmu is you think well and research well before you now proceed. You see, these two things go together. When al-ashaju arrived, he did not jump down from his horse, he waited. Those who jumped down, he packed their own horses and their camels and tied his own camel. He removed his cloth, changed his clothes, changed his headgear. He did not run to the Prophet. He walked calmly. Meanwhile, he's the head of the delegation. The rest of the other group, they had jumped down from their horses. Oh, we have seen the Prophet of Allah. They jumped down from the horses, they ran into the masjid, they started kissing the Prophet on his head, kissing his hand, hugging him. He didn't do that. And when he came honorably, radiyallahu anhu, the Prophet shook him, the Prophet hugged him, and then placed him right beside him. Ajlasahu bijanibihi. The Prophet made him sit next to him so that he did not rush, he did not miss anything. He rather got honor and respect. So it was clear to the Prophet, this man is a different person from all of these people. So he said to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that inna fika la khaslatayn yuhibbuhum Allahu al-hilmu wal-ana. You have two characters. Allah likes those two characters. Al-hilm is looking something very well, looking at it very well before you do it. Al-anat is you hold back your weapon. You are not hit. You are deliberate about all your acts. There are some of us, when we pick us, we pick everybody's call. We are not careful. When we speak, we are not careful. When you act, you are not careful. You want to do everything. You want to say everything. We need to be deliberate about our lifestyles. The same thing occurs in Hadith 586. As from Hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, when he said, that قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لي الأشجي أشجي عبد القيس. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم قال للأشجي. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم told that man الأشجي. You guys could be any أشجي. So he now said أشجي أشجي عبد القيس. Which أشجي? What does it mean to say الأشجي? To have a mark. That man who had a mark on his face. Which one? Ashadji Abdul Qais. That Ashadji, who is from the Banu Abdul Qais. The Prophet said to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna fika la khuslatayn yuhibbuhum Allahu al-hilmu wal-anat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his blessings on Ashadji Abdul Qais. The entirety of the story showed that he was really, really a man to respect. He was really a man to have something to do with. He was full of intelligence. He was brilliant, radiallahu anhu. He was calm. He was not hasty, radiallahu anhu. He was honorable. He was deliberate about everything that he did. And Allah placed him in a place of honor, radiallahu anhu. So, oh brother and oh sister, over 90% of the infractions of quarrels we have, it is because there is no at-tathabbutu. There is no proper verification. There's hastiness. You just heard it about him, or you just heard it about her, you are concluded. That was what he said. Even if he said it, sometimes when you verify and you ask him, yeah, finds out about that, I made a mistake. Let's say he said it. Upon your verification, you got to him. Hey, why did you say it? Say, it was a mistake that I made. You see, the matter would end. Most of our quarrels, most of our infractions, 99% of social media troubles, come from this early stage and hastiness. Let me quickly comment. Some don't even read properly before they comment and forward. You'll be forwarding something that contradicts his appeal as a Muslim. You'll be sharing something that contradicts your deen as a Muslim because you didn't even take the time to read it. You'll be having a status that contradicts the sunnah you say you're upon. What kind of a religion is this from this individual? So we have to be deliberate about everything. We'll be deliberate about everything you do. That is what is called atuda. Atuda is al-hilmu plus al-anatu plus al-hayau. Atuda is the word that captures all these three things together. When you have al-haya, you are a modest person. When you have atuda, it is part of it. It is part of hayau, is part of atuda. Likewise, al-hilmu, to be somebody who thinks deeply and verify before you do something. Atuqda has it. When you have al-ana, you are not hasty. Atuqda has it. So atuqda is the compound word that gathers all these three expressions. Was why Al-Imam al-Bukhari placed this hadith under Babu Atuqda Tifil Umur. The last hadith under this chapter heading. That is the new hadith we'll be reading today, hadith 587. It's also about the story of Ashaju Abdul Qais, Munzir ibn A'il al-Asari, radiallahu anhu. Imam al-Bukhari said, Haddathana Qaisun ibn Hafs, Qala Haddathana Talib ibn Hujair al-Abdi, Qala Haddathani Udun ibn Abdullah ibn Sa'ad. سمع جده مزيد العابد قال جاء الأشج يمشي حتى أخذ بيد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقبلها فقال له النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أما إن فيك لخلقين يحبهم الله ورسوله قال جبلا جبلت عليه أو خلق معي قال لا بل جبلا جبلت عليه قال الحمد لله الذي جبلني على ما يحب الله ورسوله. الإمام البخاري reports this hadith from his own sheikh Qais ibn Hafs. That is Qais ibn Hafs, Abu Muhammad al-Basri, who said, Haddathana Talib ibn Hujair al-Abdi, Talib ibn Hujair al-Abdi, Abu Hujair al-Basri, is the person from whom Qais ibn Hafs reported the hadith. He said, Haddathani Hud ibn Abdullah ibn Sa'd, Hud ibn Abdullah ibn Sa'd reports from, he said, Sami'a jaddahu mazidata al-abdi. Hud ibn Abdullah had his own jadd, his own grandfather, but he is his grandfather from his mother, Mazida ibn Jabir al-abdi. The grandfather of Hud, the great grandfather of Hud, was Mazida ibn Jabir al-Abadi, his grandfather, the father of his mother. That is his father from his mother, not his father, his grandfather from his father. His grandfather from his father is Sa'd, but his grandfather from his mother is Hud, Mazida. Mazidatu al-Abdi. So he is Mazidatu ibn Jabir al-Abdi. That is evidence that there are some men who bore that name Mazida. It's a name that's common. Ashadu Yamshid. Al-Ashadju. We now know when they say Al-Ashadju, that man with the mark on his face, which Ashadju is that? Ashadju Abdul Qais. And his name was Mundhir ibn Arif. We can say, man, we are not intending insults. We can see the man shot. We can see Al-Qasir just came here now, the short man. And we know that the person we are talking to will understand the person we refer to. And we do not by that intend any sort of insult or abuse. We can use that. We can say the black man, Al-Aswad, just came here now. Why? We knew him, he's very black amongst us. We do not intend to insult him using that expression, black. This hadith of Al-Ashadju is evidence that we can do that regarding ourselves. So we can refer to people by the physical things we see amongst them, because the Prophet alayhi salatu salam referred to Al-Ashadju as what? Al-Ashadju. And no insult or embarrassment was intended regarding that by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but his name was Mundhir ibn A'id radiyallahu anhu. So Bazida ibn Jabir al-Abadi, he said, Ja'a al-Ashadju yamshi hatta akhadha biyadi Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faqabbalaha. Al-Ashadju ja'a yamshi. He came walking calmly, radiyallahu anhu. He came walking calmly into the masjid, hatta akhadha biyadi Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was coming until he reached the Prophet. Hand of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam. This is from the Sunnah. Many of the scholars did that. Kiss the hand. Very learned, righteous people, we can kiss their hands. That one is in the Sunnah of the Prophet. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Al-Ashadju did that. Qabbala yada al-Nabiyyi alayhi salatu wasalam. Faqala lahu al-Nabiyyu alayhi salatu wasalam. When he did that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasalam now said to him, Ama inna fika la khulukain yuhibbuhum Allah wa rasuluhu. You have two character traits. Allah and his Prophet like those two characters. He now asks the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that is part of his al-hilmu and al-ana, the zeal to verify something properly before you take a position. He asked the Prophet, Jablan jubil tu alayhi, was I created with it? Was I made? Was it some? He used another expression, oh, I was created with it. قال Prophet said, La, بل جبلا جبلت عليه. And then he said, رضي الله عنه, الحمد لله, I thank Allah, who has it is not only money and children and house we thank Allah for. Many of us, the times we thank Allah is when we have money. The times we thank Allah is when we buy a car. The time we thank Allah, when we have sound health, we forget to thank Allah for sound health. You see clearly, you hear clearly, you sleep, you wake up, you can urinate, you can defecate. We don't think that's from the favors of Allah. Some of us, we have Whenever I discuss this matter, I have two brothers in my mind regarding all this. They are exactly like this hadith. Two brothers, and they are both very young. They have these two characters. Wallahi, each time I see them, I deliberately respect them for it. Deliberately. So sometimes people are like that. They will be very kind and patient. You always be diligent. If you ask them a question, before they say yes, they think. Before they say no, they think. The yes itself will not be beyond yes. If you think about the answers they give you, you will see that that answer should not be more than that. So it should be clear that it was a deliberate answer he gave. And within a minute, he gave you an answer. That's why these kinds of things are the jobs of people of good intellect. If we learn this character, we also be learning intellect and self-control. We'll be learning good intellect and good self-control. Good self-control. So if you have traits that are good, thank Allah over it. It also means that we need to be looking inwards to know, am I like this? Am I like this? Am I like that? So that if you are like that, you thank Allah. Or you have a friend you know cannot deceive you. You have a friend close to you, he cannot tell you a lie. And he says to you, you are like this. If it's a good thing, then you should thank Allah. Alhamdulillah. Ja'alani kadhalik. I thank Allah who has made me like that. If it is like that, then we think, we thank Allah over other things. Thanking Allah is not restricted to when we have children, when we have a car, when we have the money, when we build a house. These are the times you say, ah, thank Allah, or you pass an exam. Say, I thank Allah. When Allah has blessed you with good character, good behavior, sound health, and many other things, many times we don't remember to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the last class, I told us another thing that Al-Ashaddu did. When he came into the masjid of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, they asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam questions. He said, our location is very far away. We will be needing to come all the way from there to meet you. And this is the only time that we can come. Because in between we and you, there is the Arab tribe Mubar. This tribe do not accept Islam. They fight Muslims. They are always at war with the people of Iman. So the only time we can come is during Ashurul Hurm, the month where war is forbidden. 4 months. Qadah, Dhul-Hijjah, and what? Muharram. The other one is what? The month of Rajab. These 4 months, war is prohibited. So they came during this. We will not be able to be coming. Tell us something that when we go back, we will go and teach our people, we too will be doing it. And then Allah will put us into Al-Jannah. When they asked this question, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them 4 things. He commanded them 4 things. He prohibited them from 4 things. He now asked them sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are you all going to give me, I read these texts to us in the last class. Are you all going to give me the oath of allegiance now for yourselves, li anfusikum wa li qawmikum? Are you going to give me oath of allegiance now for yourselves and on behalf of your community? The rest of them say, yes, yes, we give you oath of allegiance for ourselves and on behalf of our community. Allah Shajju Abdul Qais said, no, Messenger of Allah, no. We will give you oath of allegiance for ourselves. But you know, from the things that is difficult for a person to change is his religion. Send with us one of your students, one of your companions, who will come to teach our people. When they accept Islam, then they become part of us. The one who does not accept Islam, we know how to handle those ones. You can see this is part of the diligence. It was after this statement the Prophet now said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna fika la khulukain. You have two characters. Yushibuhum Allahu wa Rasuluhu. Allah likes them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also likes them. Al-hilmu wal-ana, due diligence and carefulness, wal-anat, and absence of haste. All of what he did, there is no hastiness. He likes to look very well. He likes to think very well. He likes to take precautions. And he takes deliberate actions. He made deliberate statements. Everybody said, hey, yes, yes, we will take, we have, everybody will accept. Now, if we go back, is there anybody who will reject? He said, no. From the things that is difficult for a man to change, it's his religion. We will take the allegiance for ourselves, those of us here. Send with us one of your students. When we go back, that's your student. Will be telling us, teaching our people. Those of our people who now accept, they'll be part of us. The allegiance, our own allegiance, will cover those. But those who don't accept, then we know how to handle that. We see that this is a brilliant and intelligent. It is not about haste. It is not about not being patient. It's about patience, about diligence, about thinking properly, about intelligence. That's why the scholars say that al-hilm itself has to do with a lot of intellect. Because if the man is not reasonable, he will not be balanced in his thoughts. It also has to do with a mind that is open, to be open-minded in your affairs. It is not restricted. It does not think only about now. It thinks about the end of every affair that he handles. This was the case with Shadu of this case regarding the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like we have said, the expression that captures all this character is called what? At-tu'da. At-tu'da is to have ilm, to have anat, to have haya. Haya is yasha. You can't just do something. You can't just say something. You can't just eat something. You can't just... Everything is upon deliberateness and mindfulness, carefulness. This is the kind of life that Islam wants us to live. This is the kind of way that Islam wants us to conduct our life. Ikhwa, if you are not able, if you are not like Al-Ashaj, if you have not been born with it, you can learn it. This hadith is evidence that we can learn a character, or you may be born with a character. In some families, they are all rough. They talk badly, they can't insult anybody. It's a family matter with them. But for Al-Ashaju, their own is very good. Something Allah and His Messenger likes. So the other way around is that Al-Akhlaq can also be Maktasabiyya. It can be something you learn. You were not like that before. You begin to learn it. One of the ways to learn it, so that you don't ask me that at question time, is that look for somebody you see this thing in him, be with him at all times. Somebody you know has at-tu'da, he has hayau, he has al-hilm, he has al-anat. Be with him always. You can learn from it, because we really learn from ourselves, whether we know or we don't know. Yes, we learn from ourselves a lot, whether you know or you don't know. So you be deliberate about it. Be near him so that you can learn this character from him. Another point we need so that to learn at-tu'da is that we read about it. For example, go back now, read more about Al-Ashaj. Go back, read more about Al-Ashaj. Someone who is so, so absolutely careful about everything he does, about everything he says. There are two others from the scholars in the past that you will always notice this kind of a character with. And they are usually very firm. From amongst them was Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Sirin. From amongst them was Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib. You see this thing in their character, in their way of life. They are careful about everything they do. They are careful when they made a statement. Everything is upon deliberateness. In the older times, if you come down a bit, you find this also with Al-Imam Shafi. Also, if you read his diwan, his poems, you find that Al-Shafi, rahimahullah, He regularly made poems about being careful about what you say and what you do. He had a lot of poems about what you say and what you do. If you read about people like that, you will see in their life that they were very, very careful people and diligent their actions. So read about people in the past, read about traveling. And Imam Ahmad ibn Salih al-Misri was also like that. In his own case, he can't even come to his halqa. To take a hadith from him, you need two people to assure him that you are a trustworthy person. Otherwise, he will not admit you to his gathering of learning. Ahmad ibn Salih al-Misri Abu Ja'far will not admit you to his gathering of learning until you bring two well-known persons who will tell him that you are a reasonable and a reliable person. It's part of diligence. It is the extent of the diligence that is high. There was Al-Imam Zaida ibn Qudama who did that too. In his own case, you can't come to his gatherings too unless you are verified to be a reliable and a trustworthy person. So if we handle this like this, read about people like this, read about. In fact, in the case of Ahmad ibn Salih, he was so diligent. People began to, diligence is too much. The bar was high. He raised that bar of diligence and carefulness. Rahimahullah. That was one of the reasons he expelled Al-Imam al-Nasa'i from his gatherings, Ahmad ibn Salih. So we need to be diligent, read about people whose life was a life of good diligence. In our own times, I beg you, read about Al-Imam al-Albani, rahimahullah. He displayed this so much. And I saw this personally in two of the students that, bismillah, I have made benefit of knowledge from. Sheikh Samir ibn Amin Zuhairi is the one who did the checking and the verification of this text of Al-Adab al-Mufrad that we are reading. Sheikh Samir Zuhairi al-Mansuri, the resident in Egypt. He is very, if you add everything he says, it's upon carefulness, everything he does on carefulness, very disciplined, very, very disciplined, very disciplined. So people are like that. And everything is, when he dresses, there is no mistake. People who deliberately do everything that they do, everything they do is deliberate. There is no, I just did it, no just. So if you read about people like this, for people like that, you talk about, and you read about the virtues of being like that. A book that will be useful in this kind of a discussion is Rawdatul Uqala by Imam Ibn Hibban, the Guardian of the Intelligent Ones. If you read a book like this, bismillah, Allah will make it a means of earning these kinds of character. Likewise, the book by Al-Imam Ibn al-Jawzi, Abu al-Faraj, Sayyid al-Khatir, is a very good book regarding things like this. By the time you finish them, you see that you're a very careful person. You're a very deliberate person about everything that you do. If you add Ad-Da'u wa Dawa'i by Ibn al-Qayyim, it will make a good purge for those two. Look for Rawdatul Uqala, look for Sayyid al-Khatib, look for Ad-Da'u wa Dawa'i by Ibn al-Qayyim. It will make a good book, a set of books for you to read on things like this. And bismillah, may Allah grant us up to Ada. Make us people of patience, make us people of conscious actions, and forgive our mistakes. Bismillah, tomorrow we'll be going on the chapter Al-Bagh, the chapter of oppression and aggression. What is the consequence of oppressing others? And what are the consequences of being aggressive against others? May Allah forgive all of us. I think it will be useful for us to take a few questions today. Inshallah, the books I mentioned were, the first of them was Rawdatul Uqala by Al-Imam Ibn Hibban Al-Busti Abu Hatim. The second book I mentioned was Sayyid Al-Khatir by Al-Imam Abu Al-Faraj. Ibn al-Jawzi rahimahullah. The third book I mentioned was Ad-Da'u wa-Dawa by Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyya rahimahullah. If you find someone to teach you these books, wallahi alladhi la ilaha illa huwa, you will never regret any single one of them. You find someone to teach you any one of these three books, wallahi, you would enjoy it far, far, far more. In fact, the two of you will graduate as people of At-Tu'adda. Any one of these three books, any one of these three, wallahi, wallahi, you will graduate having At-Tu'adda. In fact, one of my own teachers compelled me to read Sayyid al-Khatim. He compelled me to, Abu Nasir, you must study this book. Talib al-Ilmi, he would say that a Talib al-Ilm who has not studied Sayyid al-Khatib, he does not know what he's doing. Sayyid al-Khatib will balance, it will give you a sense of balance in your knowledge and your character. Sayyid al-Khatib, you can gain balance, you gain stability. You have learned, you have done this, okay, read this one. It will help you be balanced in your dealings with yourself and your dealings with the rest of the people. I hope that our brothers at home will pick these books to teach people. Bismillah. May Allah make them all beneficial to us in this world and hereafter. Abdul Rahman, can we take a few questions today?
صلوات الله عليكم يا شيخ.
آمين آمين آمين.
نعم. First question here. السلام عليكم يا شيخ.
عليكم السلام. آمين وإياكم.
So what is the relationship between Shuhada and procrastination? جزاكم الله خير. Can you hear me, sir?
About the Rahman, I did not hear the question.
Now, yes, sir. Can
we go on?
What is the relationship between At-Tu'adda and procrastination?
At-Tu'adda and procrastination. Procrastination. At-Tu'adda is you are just careful. At-Tu'adda, you are careful. You are searching. You are looking at the matter properly. In fact, careful, holding back, looking carefully. All of them, like we said, in a matter of 1 minute, you have a decision on what to do. It's depending on the matter. Maybe someone is talking to you now. Mind on the calm, and if you need 10 words, you will not say 20. Because we also talk too much in our own times. You need to say, I say 20. And Allah had warned us that ma yalfizu min qawlin illa ladayhi raqibun atid. There is not an expression that comes from your mouth except that it is written for you or against you. Every expression is written down. So if I need to say 10 words to convey a matter, why should I employ 20? Of these things, inside al-anat and at-tu'ada. But as for the at-takasul, or the person who is lazy or just merely procrastinating, not willing, he's not doing anything, he's not even thinking about what he needs to do, he's not, no action, zero action. A person of zero action is the one procrastinating regarding a matter. As far as that matter is concerned, action is zero, or even minus, worse than zero. This one is a sleeping individual on the ground, while this one is walking. This is the similitude between al-anat and procrastination. In Al-Anat, you are acting, walking. Actions are, I should act now. I should say now, because this matter requires a day. At sleeping, resting, lazily. No. No, he doesn't. From that is that he's a person of Aql. He knows this matter requires immediate response, and he will respond immediately. He's a balanced person. He says when he should say, he's quiet when he should quiet. But the other person is just a sleeping person there, inactive, no action, no thoughts, nothing. May Allah protect us from al-ajz wal-kasal. Can we, Abu Rahman, can you hear me?
No, yes, sir.
No.
Another question is, for the elders that rose to the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, holding and greeting him, can we all say the condemnable heart to do so when we see someone who we knew is upon utmost righteousness? Because some people do so out of love and affection for the person.
It is not wrong. If it were wrong, la yu'akhiru an-nabiyyu tanbih an dhalik. If it were wrong, the Prophet will not postpone to tell them, hey, don't do that. It was not as if they were wrong. They were right, but he was more right. They were right. He was more right. They have not done anything unlawful. They were right. But you know, rightness, let's take it from 50%. You can be 50% right. You can be, the other person can be 70% right. Or you can be 100% right. And the other one is 5,000% right. Because there was no wrong here. They were not wrong. But the other man was far more right. It's not wrong. You just arrived from a journey to go straight to your host. You arrived, you didn't change your clothes, just go straight to your host. But how is it that instead of going straight to your host, when you have dirty clothes because of the dust of the journey, you say, oh, he will understand. He didn't say that. Say, I can't. Let me change my dress first. The first one is not wrong, but the second one is calmer, is more intelligent. The other one is intelligent. This one is more intelligent. This one is more. That was why he deserved the praise. And there was nothing that he missed. He also came. He hugged the Prophet. The Prophet hugged him. The Prophet shook his hand. And one thing he did not do to others, he did to him, was that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made him sit next to him. So this is evidence that he even got more, because he did more. He did more. So he got more. So it does not necessarily now mean that the others were wrong, but he was more right than them. Is this clear, brother? Man?
My other question is, this being diligent also implies to asking people around you about what they see in me that I need to change or what I need to keep doing?
This can happen between two close friends. If you have a very good brother too who struggles to be a better Muslim, you can ask him, you see something that I need to change? Someone you know loves you truly and you love him, he will tell you the truth. Did you notice something that I need to adjust? You can ask that question. It's not wrong. he can ask you to. And without asking, you can tell him. And just like you tell him what he needs to change, don't forget to tell him what he has that is good, that he needs to improve upon. And like I said, most times we like to tell people about their faults. We hardly tell them about their good sides. This is not appropriate to tell him about the good sides. If you know a book he needs to read to improve upon that good side, you can help him. It's not just a book he needs to read about his bad side so that he can change. Both of them require a work. If you are doing good, try to be better. If you need a work, yes, you try to rectify. May Allah rectify all of us. Ameen, Abdul Rahman, can we call it a day today? We are preparing for a marriage for a brother of ours whose son is getting married today, one of our old respected brothers. We are going to attend the marriage of his son today in Lagos. So we need to go now, Abdul Rahman. Ameen, Ameen. We come back to class tomorrow morning, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.